The passage that I read to you just a moment ago, you have to grasp a technique used by the best murder mystery writers. The best murder mystery writers put the villain right before your eyes. But they do so amid so much contradictory evidence that you suspect everyone else in the story but the real criminal. And then at the end, when the criminal is unmasked, you go, "Gah! That's so obvious. I should have seen it all along." And that is when we realize the Sherlocks of the world pick up on things that the rest of us miss. The Sherlocks of the world pierce through all of the contradictory detail to see the very heart of things. Good Friday is a murder mystery, but a strange murder mystery that hinges upon not the identity of the villain, but the identity of the victim. Is Jesus truly a deluded fool, delusional, who receives his just reward on the cross? Or is he truly the obedient Son of God, who has gone to the cross in keeping with the cosmic design of his Father before the beginning of time? On Good Friday, amidst the squalor of that moment, amidst the gore and the violence and the jeers and the scorn, no one is sure. On this Sunday, we are sure that indeed he is the Christ. But on that Good Friday, no one is sure except one Sherlock. One man perceives what nobody else detects. And it's a thief, a crucified thief, a dying thief. But he has resurrection imagination. Resurrection imagination is that ability to slice through all the details of life and to see the essence. Is to envision a future that no one else can understand. It's to deal even amidst circumstances that are bleak and to see beauty and joy and hope. The great figures of history exercise resurrection imagination. John Milton, in the darkness of his blindness, envisions the greatest English epic poem in history, Paradise Lost. Ludwig Beethoven, in the darkness of his deafness, hears the beauty of the Ninth Symphony. Jonas Salk, amidst the plague of polio, envisions a generation of children that are healthy and protected. Somebody asked Winston Churchill what he did when he would go in the bomb shelter during the bombing of London in the bleakest time of World War II, and his answer was, "I go into the shelter and I work on plans for the liberation of Europe." Mother Teresa looks at the degradation, the death, the squalor of the streets of Calcutta, and in her head, she imagines a ministry of dignity and love and worth. Resurrection imagination. Actually, the other criminal is open to the possibility that Jesus might be the Christ, but his take on things is very different. If you are the Son of God, save yourself and save us too. Now that sounds crass, but is it so very different from the prayers that you and I often pray? It's just a different version of our gimme religion. Lord, give me what I desire. Give me what I'm hoping for. Make sure that I don't have to suffer the consequences of my bad action. Get me out of this fix, Lord. Save yourself and save me too. How much of our religion is gimme religion? How often have you and I fired the Lord as our boss because he didn't answer our whims? But the Father who will not answer the Son's request to let the cup of crucifixion be taken from him is not going to answer our whims. And yet, Christendom has celebrated that thief with resurrection imagination, celebrated his honesty, celebrated his clarity of vision, celebrated his modesty. The one thief sees that death is Jesus' destiny, but it's not his end. The one thief sees this man Jesus as without blemish, as going to the cross in obedience to his Father. A son who is perfectly open to the will of the Father, who dies on the cross knowing, as the TV show once said it, Father knows best. The son dies in complete submission and obedience to the Father. And one thief sees it. Not only does he see Jesus clearly, he sees himself clearly. He says to the other criminal, how can you say, save us too? We're receiving our just deserts. We deserve this, but not this man. How can you not fear God's judgment? This raises the question for me, how could this criminal with such clarity of insight end up crucified? And the answer I can only come to is he's one of those people that we meet so often in life who sees the right way but can't bring himself to do it. Is he so very different from many of us? We hear the call of God, deepen your faith, strengthen your commitment, become active in your family of faith. And we see the right path, we hear the right call, but we don't do it. This thief with a resurrection imagination all his life has seen the right path, knew the right thing to do, but never could bring himself to take it. But on this day, he does. Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. Remember me. Think of the modesty of that request. If you were standing before a firing squad and you knew the Son of God was tied next to you, would all you say is, hey, remember me? Wouldn't you be saying what the other criminal did? Hey, get us out of this. But what the criminal is asking is more profound than you might think. To be remembered is to be appreciated. To be remembered is to be valued. I think of a friend of mine, a World War II vet, who went to see Saving Private Ryan. And he watched that opening scene of the invasion of Normandy and all of its graphic power. But being an old man, he had to go to the bathroom. And as soon as it was over, he went into the bathroom. And there in that bathroom were a generation of men his age, crying, weeping. Because that scene had brought up in their memories visions of friends lost on that beach and 100 beaches like them, and they were there together in that bathroom crying their eyes out, weeping and remembering. That's all the criminal asked. Weep for me forever in your kingdom. But though this criminal grasped something of Jesus' nature, grasped something of his compassion, he does not grasp the width of his graciousness. And I suspect more often than not, neither do we. Understand that the cosmic drama of Good Friday, the cosmic drama of the Passion, is not simply about the Father willingly sacrificing his Son to our hatred. It's not simply about the Son sacrificing himself in obedience as a show of divine power. It is a drama that is larger and smaller than that. This drama is meant to bring about the redemption of all creation, of all humanity, and of you, me. Jesus goes to the cross to bring about the redemption of all the world, but he goes to the cross for you, for me, for that criminal on the cross and the teenager in the pew. His vision is cosmic. His purpose is cosmic. And so when the criminal says, remember me when you come into your kingdom, Jesus says, remember you, you're going to be with me. This day, you are with me in paradise. Are those not the words of affirmation that every single one of us wants to hear? The compassion and the graciousness of our Christ is cosmic. He gave his life for us, for you and for me. Do you have resurrection imagination? Life beats all of us up. There are times when your dreams are dashed, when your relationships fracture, when your finances are shaky, when your vocation is under attack, when your future seems murky, when you're gripped with grief and sorrow. Do you have resurrection imagination? It's not just a doctrine. It's not just an idea. It is an energy of joy that we tap every single day. It's an energy of deliverance that's meant to allow us to move from darkness to light, despair to hope, death to life. Do you have resurrection imagination? There are some of you here today that have had losses that bring a grief almost too great to bear. Do you have the resurrection imagination to start living forward instead of backward? Do you have the imagination to summon the power of joy amidst your hopelessness and to see God can bring something amazing, something I cannot see? God can create a way out of no way, a path where there seems none. Some years ago, after a Maundy Thursday service, I snuck to the movie theater to see Mel Gibson's The Passion of Christ. I don't advise it unless you've got a really strong stomach. But there was a moment where Jesus has been flogged, and he is walking on the Via Dolorosa toward Golgotha, his face disfigured, his back lacerated and bleeding, too weak to carry his cross, and he falls into the dust. And in a moment of poetic license, his mother Mary emerges from an alley and he whispers to her, "I am making all things new." And a chill went up my spine. For a moment, Gibson caught it. The very essence of the gospel. Christ comes in order to create new creation, in order to make us all new creatures. And even as our physical bodies each day are getting a little older, a little more wrinkled, a little closer to death, our spirits, our souls, our spiritual life is being made new. We are being made a new creature. That's what Easter is about. That Christ has ushered in a new creation. And we're a part of it. I learned a lesson about resurrection imagination from one of my children when he was 3 years old. He had a favorite VHS, Noah's Ark. He would watch Noah's Ark 4 or 5 times a day if we would let him. But that wasn't so strange. What was strange is he would then rewind it so you could see the movie go backwards. And he didn't do that with any of the VHS, but he would run this one so that he watched the drama backwards. So one day, I couldn't help but ask, "Stuart, why do you do that?" And he answered that tone that three-year-olds have when they know they're already smarter than you are. "Daddy, when you watch the movie backwards, everyone lives." When you watch the movie backward, everyone comes to life. At 3 years old, he had grasped the essence of the gospel. He had grasped with a resurrection imagination what Paul did: as in Adam, all die. In Christ, all are made alive. Resurrection imagination. The thief on the cross watches the Lord pray this prayer: "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." That's the prayer which all of us are allowed to pray every day. Easter is not about an event. Easter is about a resource of resurrection energy we are meant to tap. A resource that moves us from despair to hope, from alienation to forgiveness, from sorrow to joy, from light to life. Resurrection imagination is meant to allow us to pray each day, "Into thy hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit." If we can pray that prayer, if we can tap that energy, then Easter's not just today. It is the assurance that every day we have access to the power of eternal life. And so we can say, "He is risen." Each day we know He is risen indeed. May we pray together. Lord, only You know what You have called upon each heart to do: to claim You as Savior, to invest their life more powerfully in Your kingdom, to give themselves more totally to Your call. Only You know what acts of courage and commitment You have placed upon each heart. But give to each person that resurrection imagination to see what could be a way out of no way, a path out of despair. Through our Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.